Hello and welcome to Irreverent Testimony, brought to you by Netroots Radio, the political podcast by and for millennial and Gen Xer types from a left-winged perspective. It is May the 5th, Cinco de Mayo, 2017. I'm Travis.
I'm Rachel.
And just yesterday, the House passed a flaming bag of dog poop, also known as AHCA, that nobody wants.
Nope.
And we're going to talk about that and some other stuff tonight. Anything else that we want to get out of the way first before we tackle the big, giant elephants in the
country? I don't know. Do you want to talk about the weird thing that happened to me?
Yeah, let's talk about that. We don't know if it's related to this show or
we don't.
Or activism, but to go ahead and tell.
Yeah, so I got this really odd and disturbing and like disarming voicemail at work. I came back from a break and there was a voicemail on my work that said, "Hey Rachel, kill yourself."
It was a man's voice.
It was a man's voice. And then a person laughed in the background. I don't know the gender of that person. So I sent it to my HR lady and there was lots of talk around the office. And we kind of all thought maybe it's just like a prank call, except that when you call my work number, it doesn't say my name. It just says my extension. So the person who called intended to call me. And so the law firm that I work for called the police and I made a police statement and kind of thought like, you know, it's a local number. It's somebody who lives in the state and, lives in the district where I campaigned, which is probably not related, but
we thought
noteworthy,
it might have been at first.
You know, noteworthy. Yeah. That was at like 3:20 p.m. And then at 5:05 p.m., I got a call on my cell phone, my personal cell phone, from the same phone number. And I wasn't sure it was the same number because I hadn't memorized it, you know, but I had written it on the police report. So I called my HR lady back and she confirmed that it was. And that's really fucking creepy. Police are aware, everyone's aware, but it's just like, ugh.
Yeah. I was going to say, if it was show related, it would be our first threatening message that we've ever gotten because of the show.
Yeah.
But it's probably not.
Probably not.
Has more to do with your work.
What I do for my job. Yeah.
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 And we can't get too into detail about that.
No.
But it's certainly something worth mentioning.
And just to say, like, you know, the cop showed up and he seemed a little like, why are you telling me this? Like, this message, considering what I've heard in my career, is very unimportant. And I felt like it was important to note to the police department, because should something happen or should things escalate or should this person actually have something out for me, the police department should already be aware of it. And that's what I told him. And he agreed. And that stuff's important. Building a record of stuff is important. Not just for me, but for people who are experiencing any kind of
harassment
or anything like that.
Yeah.
It's important to let the police know because they need to start building a case against the person who's harassing you.
Yeah, documenting everything.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So, someone telling me to go kill myself, like, ugh, who cares? But,
I think the fact that they followed it up by calling your cell phone.
Yeah, that, well, I called the cop back last night, and I told him, hey, same number. And he was like, oh, well, that does change things. Yeah. Because it's not just like a random phone call at that point. So, I'm fine. I'm good. I feel very safe. I feel fine. But that happened. And that's gross and weird.
Yeah.
And kind of awful.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hopefully the cops go and pay this guy a visit and he thinks better of those sort of.
I hope so too. I do hope so. Yeah. I hope it's just some random person who thinks ladies shouldn't talk or
yeah, something
hates
like
my
that.
Boss or I don't know.
Probably both, you know.
Probably maybe. Who knows? Who knows? But I certainly hope it's not anything more than that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. So we have a lot to cover this week. We have to, I think, start with the ACHA.
AHCA, American Healthcare Act.
Yes.
So, we're going to try to demystify a lot of it for you, and yeah. we're going to try to explain what happens next. Although there's certain things we can't predict.
Obviously.
We can tell you what the next steps are to be, or kind of how it's going to go down.
But let's just talk about what happened down. First.
Sure. Well,
right? So talk for a minute. Talk about what happened before.
Okay, well, we know just a few weeks ago that their attempt to do this crash and burn and Paul Ryan pulled the bill at the last minute. Then we heard rumblings early this week, or last week, really, that they were going to try to do it again, and we kind of scoffed at it.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, there's no way they're going to get it through. How are they possibly going to satisfy the House crazies and then all the moderate members? And
no Democrats are going to vote for it.
No Democrats are going to vote for it. It has 17% approval. Even Republicans are showing up to town hall saying, don't repeal ACA.
My husband has cancer and I need health insurance. Please stop.
So we thought there's no way they're actually going to get this done. But something interesting happened. They won over the House crazies. And with the House crazies, everybody else fell in the line. The quote unquote moderate people, representatives from places from New York or California that could really, really get screwed by this for a lot of very odious, gross, disgusting reasons that I think Rachel will get into. It passed. It passed by 4 votes, and we were a little taken aback. I guess we knew the night before when they scheduled a vote, and they were pretty confident they were going to hold the vote, that, oh, wow, they looks like they actually have the votes.
Yeah, so let me just talk about that for a minute. So it's really important for Paul Ryan and for congressional Republicans in general to not schedule a vote for something that they know doesn't have the votes to win. That occurs at the federal level, and certainly, I can tell you, it happens at the state level. If you don't have the votes, you don't call it to the floor, because it's embarrassing.
Horribly
and particularly
embarrassing.
If it's a Republican bill with a Republican-controlled House, like, you can't even pass your own bill.
Yeah.
Is not a thing that anyone wants to have on their record. So they usually put it in committee or pull the bill or it dies. So we kind of figured that was what was going to happen. And it is not what happened. This guy, MacArthur, out of New Jersey, brokered a deal. And no one knows him, by the way. He's not a well-known figure. So if you're thinking, who the fuck is this guy? So was I.
Yeah. So was everybody.
Everyone was. I looked him up. And he has a really interesting backstory. His daughter... he found out in his wife's 4th month of pregnancy was basically his daughter was terminal, and they knew that, and they couldn't find a doctor who would recommend anything other than abortion. So they kept looking, and they eventually found someone that would treat her and her daughter, knowing that she was born with horrifying birth defects. So she was born, and she lived for 11 years, which is longer than anyone thought she would live. Mm. And she never walked. She spoke only a few words. But he related that back to this healthcare vote by saying, you know, my daughter and my wife and I being in the pool of people in the insurance pool that we were in at the time, which was in the private sector, caused everyone else's insurance premiums to go up. And so that didn't seem fair to him somehow. And so he thought what would be better is if what we call now the MacArthur Amendment, which is what brought the House Freedom Caucus together with the moderates so they can all sing kumbaya and kill people, is if we give states the rights to allow waivers for all the protections that Obamacare essentially gave, and
essentially the right to not
Yes.
To deny mm-hmm. people insurance for pre-existing conditions or charge them exorbitant rates.
Insurance companies can not deny anyone coverage. What they can do is say, we will give you insurance, but you will pay 3 or 4 or 5 times the rate that
make
everyone
it basically
else
unaffordable.
Pays.
Yeah.
Then they created this, what they call, quote, high-risk pool. This was all this MacArthur guy's idea.
Well, no, high risk pool wasn't MacArthur's idea.
Okay,
that's been around forever.
Sure, not his idea. Let's rephrase that. His compromise came about by saying, let's allow states to make decisions because that makes the crazy people happy. And then we'll also do this high risk pool. And what that means is that people who need a lot of health care,
cancer patients,
people
with heart disease, mm-hmm. people with, you know, major expensive health problems.
Yes.
Or maybe not. Maybe it could be us that are in that
right.
pool.
Right. No, I'm definitely in that pool, considering my history. They go into what's called the state's high-risk pool, and it's paid for by this $8 billion that this bill, in its current form, provides to states.
Which is a joke.
It's a hilariously not funny joke. Yes. That isn't even coming close to the amount that we would need to cover all the very sickest people in this country.
You need about $500 billion, maybe.
Yes. The whole point of having single-payer or socialized healthcare or even Obamacare is that healthy people pay and sick people pay, and sick people use more healthcare, but healthy people still pay.
Right? Right? Mm-hmm. That's how car insurance works.
Yeah, it is exactly how car insurance works. But they don't like that. So they're saying, let's take the sick people out of the pool. We'll put them in their own pool. And we'll government sponsor, like, sort of subsidize their health care. It's not going to work. But anyway, before we get to the commentary, let me just give you the facts. So we're going to take sick people, really sick people and partly sick people and anyone insurance companies don't want to cover out of private insurance and put them into this government funded high risk pool. And we're only giving $8 billion for that nationwide.
For every person,
for
every sick person in America.
For every person that insurance doesn't want to cover, which states get to. So the MacArthur Amendment basically says states get to request waivers to allow insurance companies to not cover.
And I think
these
it was
people.
Scott Walker today was one of the first to say, yeah, I think that we might do that.
Yeah. So it's very scary, folks. Let me just get past this. So high risk pools are what the plan is. That apparently got enough Republicans in the House on board to say, well, we can
this
go with the...
This covers us. People will think this means that they're covered.
Yes.
Pre-existing conditions. And they're just flat-out bald-faced lying to the press about
Correct.
It.
Correct. And the CBO hasn't had a chance to...
Not coming out. It will next week, probably.
Yep. The CBO has not had a chance to evaluate this bill. It's funny, I'm going to say rammed it through because that's what they said about Obamacare, but that's hilarious because we had like a year in roundtables and literally like public roundtables about it, but that's fine. They pushed it through the House and they're handing it to the Senate, and the Senate is sort of like, lol, no, it has no chance.
It's not exactly what the Senate is saying. Actually,
like Lindsey Graham literally said, like, I don't even know if the baby's a boy or a girl.
Well, did you hear what McConnell...
What the fuck are you doing?
Did you hear what McConnell did?
No.
He created a task force to write the Senate version of the bill.
Mm.
And it is a who's who of wonderful... what's the word I'm looking for? Bipartisanship.
Ah.
You have Ted Cruz, John Thune... Jesus. NZ from West Virginia. No, it's all super conservative dudes. It's like 15 super conservative
dudes. So one of the things that I really want to touch on is pre-existing conditions. And part of the reason that that is important in this bill is that, first of all, that's one of the best things Obamacare did.
Yeah.
So I'll agree on that.
Everybody agrees
on that.
Even the people who hated Obamacare were like, well, I like that pre-existing condition thing. I just hate everything else about it.
I want to touch on how exactly bad our messaging was, because I had a conversation with a Republican today about it, and she was like, I didn't know. Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, I didn't know that. And I'm like, yeah, because we didn't fucking tell you, because we're the fucking worst. But, so, pre-existing conditions are a thing that Obamacare did away with, and the world is better for it, and mm-hmm. everything is better for it. Mm-hmm. Under this Republican bill, states can opt out of requiring insurance companies to provide insurance for people that have pre-existing conditions. Interestingly, how they're defining pre-existing conditions has very gendered effects.
Mm.
And I'm just going to mention a few of them. Rape and sexual assault would be considered a pre-existing condition under this bill.
Yeah, I was fairly shocked to see that. And it's not really getting that much attention.
It needs to get a lot more, and we're going to give it a lot right here. Because all I can do is what I can do. And everyone seems to think that it's hyperbole, that it's hysterical, that it's not really what it says, and maybe blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, the New York Times tried to work that angle.
Oh man, aren't they great?
Yeah.
But in real life, in the world, there's a woman who was raped and she was given the prophylactic drugs to prevent her from getting HIV. And because she was given those drugs, she was prevented from accessing healthcare for 3 to 4 years until they could determine whether or not she had HIV. The person who raped her may or may not have HIV. We don't know. The drugs that they gave her are 99% effective. And whether or not, barring all of that, even if none of that was true, saying to a woman who was raped, you don't get to have health insurance until we figure out if your rapist gave you AIDS, is kind of a thing that I feel like as a moral code, we should be fucking against. Even if the next day, which you can't get, you know, like, I'm just saying, even if she were diagnosed with not just HIV, but like advanced stage AIDS, at what point do we say people dying because they don't have money or people dying so that health insurance companies can make money is good? At what point do we say that's ridiculous?
Well, that's where we've seen a lot of pieces about the absolute moral bankruptcy of this bill.
Yes.
There's very, very thin veneer, I think, of even a plausible, besides some of the talking points, that this has anything to do with getting Americans better coverage.
Yeah.
It's pretty obvious, even to skeptics and most conservatives. It's like, this is about making more money for the insurance industry.
Yes.
And
it is.
Particularly for CEOs. And then
everyone else, go fuck yourself. Make more money.
Yeah. Yeah.
But seriously, this is a thing that we've been talking about all day today. Is like, if you get sexually assaulted, that is now a pre-existing condition. Meaning that if a state requests this thing that every state's going to do, you can be denied coverage or be put in one of the high-risk pools.
Well, I don't know if every state is going to do it, but remember, we have, 35 Republican governors right now?
Right.
Something like that?
Probably if you're in California, you're fine.
No, you're not, but I'll get to that.
Maybe Colorado, I would assume.
Because written into this bill, California gets denied a bunch of funds because either of their abortion policy or because of the state's contraception or something like that. There's New York and California get especially screwed by this bill, which makes it even more odious that I think all the Republicans
most populous
from
states in the country,
New York and California, voted yes. And they're in hiding right now because their phones blew up so fast and so furiously. Mm-hmm. When their constituents found out they voted for this, that they're literally in hiding.
Yeah, Cory Gardner in Colorado unplugged his fax machine, by the way.
Well, Cory Gardner is one of the architects of the Senate bill. He's one of the men on the list.
Now, here's something I want to say, and I think it needs to be said out loud, often, every day, constantly, sort of riffing off of our last week's message about messaging and democratic messaging and policy.
Right.
In the state of Colorado, if Tipton, Lamborn, and Buck had voted no, the AHCA would not have passed.
Yeah. And what districts
can that be a thing that we say every day, all day, to the end of time, fundraise on, knock doors about, and say over and over, you hate this bill? Great. Here's the three people that live in your state that if they had voted a different way, that's, I don't give a fuck about the rest of the country. I live in Colorado. Mm-hmm. If those three people had voted differently, 1, 2, 3, you have their phone number. If they had voted differently, this would not have passed. It passed by 4 votes.
Yeah.
So, think about that for your state. I can't possibly do 50 states on this math, but think about how many congressmen do you have and how did they vote? Look it up. I promise you, it will be enlightening.
Mm-hmm.
And the next thing that you do is look up who are your senators and what party are they a part of and what do you think they'll do? And if they are Republicans, because all the Democrats are going to vote against it, and smart Republicans will too. But if you have Republican senators in your state, I would highly encourage you to call them every day, all day long, and say to them, if you let this thing pass, I will come after you.
Yeah.
Because pass the House, it's not like we have the House by 3 votes. 20 Republican House members voted no.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Including one from Colorado, Mike Kaufman.
Yeah, Kaufman.
Because
voted
they're
no.
Politically smart. They understand that this thing is incredibly unpopular and they voted no.
And that the state exchanges
and
in Colorado, well, there are some problems.
Just 3 more. Are just working three pretty more. Well. Just 3 more people. Not just in Colorado, but 3 more people in the entire country voted no out of 435.
In the House, yeah.
In the House. Would not have passed. Take a moment to look up who your reps are in your state and how they voted. And if they voted the wrong way, I highly encourage you to campaign for the person who wants to replace them. And second step, it's going to the Senate.
Yeah, and now when it gets to the Senate, things get very strange and tricky and arcane. And do we want to get into that now, what that might look like? Or, let's get into it, right? So this is what happens now, okay? Just, we really have to take a step back for some of our listeners and some of our friends and explain things. This is not law yet.
No.
It is a bill that has passed one yes. chamber of Congress.
Correct.
Now it goes to another chamber where things get very, very tricky, and we're going to try to explain it all for you the best we can, because it's very arcane, it's very strange, and we're not exactly sure how it's going to go down, but... Let's start with the basics, right? The balance in the Senate is 52-48. 52
yes.
Republican senators, 48 Democratic senators.
Correct. Yes.
Under normal circumstances, you would need 60 votes to pass the bill in the Senate. However...
Well, hold on. You need 60 votes to filibuster it, right? You don't need 60 to pass it. But if enough senators don't want it to happen, then you need 60, which is kind of the new standard bearer.
Yeah.
Under Senate rules, you don't need 60, but if it's controversial, someone filibusters it, then you need 60. Yes?
Okay, yeah, that's a better way of explaining
it. The filibuster is what we're talking about, because they're going to get rid of it.
But what they're going to try to do is pass this under reconciliation. So... What they're going to try to do is pass this via a method called reconciliation. And do you want to try to explain how that works or why that's different? Okay. Well, for reconciliation, you only need 50. Forget the filibuster.
Yeah.
You just need 50.
Yeah.
However, in order to do that, it has to be... What you're passing has to be considered germane.
Yes.
And somebody... called a parliamentarian needs to decide whether it's germane. We've probably completely lost you at this point.
That's because it's nonsense.
Yeah.
Yes. However, what's interesting to me is that Trump is super pissed that Democrats could filibuster something, which is kind of hilarious, considering what Republicans did to Barack Obama for 8 years.
Sure.
And he's like, fuck it. We already got rid of the filibuster for the Supreme Court. Let's just get rid of the filibuster for the everything. Fuck it. We don't... don't need it. Don't need it. Don't want it. Don't need it.
Right.
And you're like, okay, so you guys literally obstructed everything for 8 years. And now we're like, hey, maybe don't kill people because they're poor. And you're like, burn it down. No more filibuster. Right?
Right. Basically.
So I don't even want to get into the hypocrisy, but like, it is fucking crazy that now, like, the rules that you've been using for the last 8 years, because there's a black guy in office, you're like, do we need those? I feel like we don't need those. I feel like we don't need those anymore. I feel like those should go away and we should just get rid of them and we should just...
Well, to that point, straight up, and to make a long story short, if McConnell wants this thing passed, he'll finagle the rules however he wants to get it passed with 50.
51. Or 50 and Pence.
Well, here's the thing, right? They can only afford to lose three? Two?
Four. Three, well... So four, because Pence will vote with the Republicans. So they need four.
Right. And Dent is a likely no, I would think. And there's a couple more probably on the fence. So it's going to be difficult. So this is how it could go down. The Senate is going to write their own. They've literally said today, we're not even bothering with the House bill.
Oh, Lindsey Graham burned it down.
Well, forget just about Lindsey Graham. McConnell himself said we're not... The whole Senate said we're not
voting on this because this bill. No one has any idea what the fuck is in it because no one has reviewed it. So, and you guys just passed it. They're talking to the House like they're like the fucking stepchild. Like, what did you just fucking do? Which is kind of a
congressional tradition.
And it also is true.
But anyway, think about that for a second. So all that pomp and circumstance and the high-fiving and the beer kegger party and everything... in a way, was for substantively nothing.
Yes.
Because whatever it is they passed is not going to get voted on in the Senate now.
No.
But it was like the necessary symbolic first step.
Yes.
Which is why we're terrified.
And it is the first bill to pass any arm of Congress since Trump has been elected.
Right.
The first one.
Yeah, which is why he was so happy with himself.
Nothing that has been passed through either house, or whatever you want to call them, of Congress since he's been elected.
Right.
Which is kind of crazy. Like, in Obama's first 100 days, we did the Lilly Ledbetter Act.
Mm-hmm.
We did a lot of good work.
Well, we had the stimulus, right?
Yeah.
That was pretty important.
Yeah. Yeah, there was started work on too. Obamacare. Like, in the 2 years where... This is something that I was talking to my friend Don about, and how frustrated I am with Democrats' messaging. We were talking about Obamacare and the repeal, and she was super upset that, like, the House had passed this bill to...
Oh, she was?
Yeah, very.
Okay.
I was sitting at my desk.
But she didn't know what was in it.
I'm sitting at my desk and I hear her, oh no. And I'm like, what? Because lots of personal stuff's going on with her. And she said, oh, the House just passed a bill to repeal Obamacare. And I said, yeah.
She probably would not have reacted that way before knowing you.
Right.
Because you had to educate her on and all I these said, things.
Yeah. And she said, well, it hasn't gone to the Senate yet. Don't worry. And I said... First of all, I was super mad. So I was like, you voted for these people to do exactly what they said they were going to do. And they did it. So I kind of don't want you to be like, oh, no about it. I kind of want you to be like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And she was like, that's not what I was voting for. But that's a different conversation. But anyway, we were talking about messaging. We were talking about what is in Obamacare, mm-hmm. and what actually is in it, and how bad we were at messaging about it. And I was telling her about, like, for example, like, I was just giving her round numbers. I don't know what the numbers are exactly, how they're calculated, but I said that, for example, like, he put a cap on how much profit insurance companies can make.
Right.
So I explained it to her. That's one
of the main things they got rid of.
Yes. I explained to her, like, let's say an insurance company rakes in $40 million, but they only pay out $5 million in care. Mm-hmm. And next year they up your premiums and they bring in $45 million, but they only give out $5 million in care. And the next year they up them again and it's $50 million, but they only give out $6 million in care. Obamacare said, fuck that. You have to give out a sort of proportional amount of care to the amount of money that you're charging. And if you don't do that, then you have to, and it's, you get to make profit. We're not saying you don't get to make profit, but you have to give back at a certain percentage to your patients,
which
to
libertarians, the people that are insured. Conservatives absolutely hate this.
Hate this the most. And I explained this to her, and I sort of had already gone on a rant about how, like, we don't know how to message things correctly because we were talking about Obamacare and she doesn't know what's in it. And I was telling her about what's in it. And this was, like, the final one that I was like, just, mm-hmm. she was like, I wish someone had told me any of this.
We were,
and I was
to.
Like, I fucking wish you heard it too.
Yeah.
I wish the Democrats had told you that, because maybe on, made that make though. You.
You know what? You know what, though? Probably the Maddows and Chris Hayes and people like that were talking about this stuff.
It is not up to the media to give the Democratic Party's platform to the people.
That's a good
point.
It
is up to the Democratic Party to tell people what we're fucking doing and why it helps them.
Okay, okay.
And if we can't do that, which we cannot, apparently, which we know is why Obamacare was so unpopular, because we just let Republicans control the message. We did all these great things, and then we didn't tell anybody about it. We just said, oh, they'll find out because they'll have great insurance now. It's fine. We didn't tell anyone about all the great things that we did. And then we had fucking death panels and all the things. No,
the only thing anybody remembers is Obama saying, if you like your insurance, keep it, which didn't work out for a couple people.
And death panels.
Right. Now, here's the thing, though. In our defense.
No. Well, on messaging, we have no defense.
No, well, hold on. Hold on a second.
Governing, we do.
Hold on a second. If your friend watches nothing but Fox News and listens to nothing but Rush Limbaugh, where the hell was she going to get that messaging ever? Even if
she doesn't, though, and no, nor do my brothers, nor do a lot of people that I know. They're okay, not Fox enough. News people. We fair didn't. Enough. We did not say,
like our dads, maybe. But.
Yeah, but like average folk, we did not say, "Hey guys, here's what we just did. Here's the 7 things that's going to make your life way better. Here's what we did. We just did it and said." Check next. And we let Republicans control the message and we let them say it's death panels and it's socialism
medicine.
And it's awful. And people believed it for so long that now that they're taking it away, people are like, wait, what are you taking away?
Yeah.
And then you're like, Obamacare. And like, that's Obamacare? That is a failure of the Democratic Party to give a message to what we just fucking did.
I can agree
with that.
That
is a failure of our party to message what we just did.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with that completely.
Yeah, straight up. That is our failure. That. Yeah. Yeah.
But that aside, let's talk about now what happens, right?
Yeah.
So one of several things is going to happen, in my estimation. Mm-hmm. And this is where it gets weird and tricky, and I'm not sure how this is going to play out. The Senate is going to write something. If they write something that's the equivalent of the House bill... Then it goes back to the House.
Well, either way it does. They have to have House.
Well, I know either way back. I'm just saying under this scenario, it goes back to the House. And
which
then,
is full of crazy people.
Which is full of crazy people, but maybe those people from New York who signed it and said we didn't know what was in it and with their phones blown up, like that's going to be tough to keep all of them on board. Mm-hmm. Or they write a more sensible,
centrist,
humane,
non-monstrous bill.
Which it will, essentially will be Obamacare light,
yes.
Which the House Freedom Caucus will not stand
which,
for.
Which, can we just say really quick, Obamacare light, what that means is all of the things that you like about Obamacare remain, right? So pre-existing conditions are still covered. Your kid can be on your insurance until you're 26. Mm-hmm. The only thing that Obamacare Lite does essentially is reduce Medicaid which means if you're poor, you should die. And you don't have to buy insurance. And that's the kind of critical component that
makes it all work.
Makes it all work.
Yeah.
So I was talking to my friend at work. And I thought it was really interesting how effective Republican messaging has been, because she said, what I hate about Obamacare is that you can't punish people. And she had this face that was like so angry.
She said,
you can't punish people who can't afford to pay for your insurance.
Okay, I see what
this is. And I said, oh.
So did you explain her Medicaid expansion?
So I said, we should expand Medicaid.
And the states that didn't expand
We should expand Medicaid then. Well, so we talked through it. I don't throw things at people. Like, I let them talk through how what they're mad about and why they're mad, and let them, and I fully understand
better than me
what they're trying to say, so that I can sort of understand exactly their issue.
It's a better tactic.
And I say to her, so, okay, so there's like this security guy that works in our office, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the lobby. And him and he has a family of four, and they couldn't afford insurance. It was cheaper for them to pay the fine than to buy insurance. So he has a family of four that's uninsured currently. And that's a great example of how we've been failing.
Yes.
And
it's
I'm completely...
It's a
failure of the system. I'm not saying it's perfect. I'm not even saying... Sorry, we live in downtown Denver next to a hospital. I'm not even saying that that's not bad. I'm saying that that is bad. It is bad. The system is not perfect. So I said to her, so what if we did something different? And what if we said, like, we figured out a threshold for every city or every state or every county, or somehow we figured out how much money do you have? How many people do you have living with you? What can you afford? And what does insurance cost? And if you can't afford it, you can be on Medicaid. And she was like, exactly. And I'm like, great. So you're for Medicaid expansion. And she was like, oh, yes. And I was like, okay. And she hates Paul Ryan, by the way. She thinks he's a weaselly asshole who hates people.
That seems to be the consensus of everybody, right, left, center.
Yeah, she thinks he's like a money-hungry, weaselly asshole who hates, like, the common person. That's her.
So she's got him exactly right.
Yeah. No, okay. She's exactly correct. We agree on Paul Ryan. She also hated John Boehner. And she votes for Jared Polis, by the way.
Rhino. Your friend's a rhino.
My friend is a very complicated and three-dimensional person, and I learn a lot from her. I learn so much from her.
Well, you learn what messaging sticks through.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Average, typical,
yes, I do.
Right-leaning, centristish American.
Like, hyper, insanely Christian, right-wing on some stuff, and then also, like... Of course people should have health insurance. What are we, monsters? And then welfare makes you lazy. And then, I mean, it's I learn a lot. I learn a lot. Yeah. Let's just say that. So, but she's 100% with me. She's like, yeah, no, completely. Like, if you can't afford it, then we will provide it to you. And I'm like, that's Medicaid.
Mm-hmm.
And what Republicans want to do is get rid of that entirely.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the Paul Ryans and libertarians of the world, fuck it. Get rid of it. It doesn't need to exist. It makes people lazy. It makes people whatever.
Dependent.
And she says, well, no, hold on. Medicaid doesn't make people lazy. Welfare does. And I said, okay, we'll have that conversation in a minute. But Paul Ryan sees those things the same. And he wants to get rid of Medicaid. And she's like, you know, I hate him. And I'm like, I know, and I love you for it. But there are governors. So I had to explain to her, like, there are governors in states that denied Medicaid expansion.
Yeah, like Texas and Florida and Oklahoma.
Why would they do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, people.
I can tell you their arguments, but they don't make any goddamn sense. But what you just said about the security guy in our building not being able to afford insurance is why we need to have socialized medicine, why we need to have single payer. I didn't say socialized medicine, I said single payer.
Yeah, well, that's what a lot of people are talking about, that... They were kind of like, oh, well, what Trump and the House just did was inadvertently open the door to single payer now.
Great.
I don't know if it's that simple.
It's not at all. And, of course, the House Freedom Caucus will lose their goddamn minds.
Well, no, the idea is we vote them all out in 2018, and then it's, you know, that's our next thing. Forget about fixing Obamacare. We're going straight for single payer, and Bernie will be yelling about it, and Elizabeth Warren will be yelling about it.
I read this article about Trump, and it was from the Washington Post, and it was about Since he's such a fucking idiot and has no political instinct whatsoever.
That we could get him to sign a single payer bill if we had Congress?
No, that's what he actually wants. When you listen to the things he said about healthcare and about health insurance and about the healthcare system, if you aren't ingrained as a Republican in politics in Washington, if you're anyone other than that, single payer makes sense. So if you explain to somebody like Trump, hey, here are the problems, and he makes all these promises, of course everyone's covered. No, of course you're covered if you have pre-existing condition. No, of course you're, of course, right? He keeps saying this. Yes, like, yeah, it's okay. Just expected. Like, oh, of course. As a person who is not entrenched in politics, if you were just to say to him, if you're the last person in the room, and be like, here's a system we could do that just is everyone's covered and everyone pays a little, but it's, we're all, he'd be like, why don't we have that? Not knowing anything. I don't give this man a lot of credit for empathy, but I give him, I do think that if that were presented to him without politics, what Trump would want ultimately is single payer because it makes the most sense. Hold it's very simple and he doesn't have to do anything about it.
Okay.
Do you know?
Yes, but there's two big caveats to that.
I know.
One, he doesn't really care.
Yes.
And two, he has no idea what's in the bill he just pushed
yes,
through.
Yes, agreed.
All the and only thing he does, the only thing he knows yes. is it's a step on the way to repealing Obamacare.
I know.
And it's got the name Obama in it.
And it matters to him that people that are on his side get what they want, and if they tell him it's bad, he'll believe it. I'm saying, there is some part of me that believes that if you were just to get him alone in a room for 5 minutes, he'd be like, single payer makes the most sense. Because it fucking does.
Sure.
And because it, all the things he said along the campaign trail about, like, of course this and of course that and of course this are not what they just passed.
Of course not. It's not even
at all. Even it's the opposite of what he's promised. It's the literal opposite. I think that, you know, he's not smart enough and doesn't care enough to know that. But if you were to present him as the last person in the room with single payer, I think he'd be like, oh, let's do that. That makes way more sense than any of this other nonsense.
But he doesn't care.
No,
the only
doesn't,
thing he cares about is that he got his Obamacare repeal bill through the House.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not, does he care if it doesn't get through the Senate and doesn't become law? I mean, then he can just yell at about Democrats in the Senate. I don't even know at this point.
Well, did you hear what the House Democrats did today as the bill was passing?
They said, no, hey, goodbye, because they think they're all going to get voted out, I hope.
They sang it, and I listened to it. So the Democrats in the House sang, like, the, you sing it.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to sing it. They know.
Hey, goodbye. Over and over. And it sort of swelled, and it got louder, and it got louder, and it got louder. And it was the House Democrats singing that to the Republicans as they passed the repeal of Obamacare and the passage of the AHCA. And
Implying
that you're all going to get voted out in 2018, which I think is not true. And perhaps we're getting ahead of ourselves yet again, but I really loved it. I really did.
Well,
sucking the dicks of liberals, I was like, yes.
Comes to fruition.
Yeah.
You know?
And if we don't get ahead of ourselves and think, oh, they voted for this, so we're good. We don't even have to do anything. We don't have to do anything. Bernie can just shit all over people and we can just not campaign and we'll win in 2018. If we can stop that and just like have that lovely moment and then work our asses off, I'm great.
Okay, but let's talk about the immediate danger, right? Because the Senate is going to draw something up. It could take weeks.
Yeah. Months, yeah.
Months, who knows? Mm-hmm. In the meantime, your House reps are coming home. Most of them are not holding town halls, but they're going to be home. Yeah. Find them.
Yes, please. If you can't find them, give them shit about that.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so the Senate's going to write something up. It's either going to be horrific and come back to the House, in which we have to hope that the people like the, quote, moderate House Republicans and the people from California and New York realize what a horrific mistake they made and try to walk that back. Or that it's a somewhat sane bill, and then the House Freedom Caucus says, well, then forget it. It's not kicking everybody off insurance.
Yep.
What's the point?
Yep.
But you know what? There's a chance that it just might get jammed through, and then Trump will sign it, and then this will be a reality. And then not only do you want to – if you want to try to look at it half glass full, which I don't because that's horribly cynical, and say, oh, goody – well, this is a good political capital. Like, no, now we have to win in 2018 to save our own lives.
This is what I was saying the other day to our friend. I was saying, in some ways, I want to be like, okay, good, fucking govern. Fine. You've been obstructionist. You've been obstructionist for 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
Here you go. Govern. And see what the fuck that means. And make people understand what that means for Republicans to govern, to have every branch of government in their control. Govern. And see what that fucking looks like. Except that I will be standing on a pile of dead bodies as a result of the AHCA making that point.
Making that point.
And I don't want to do that.
No, I don't either.
I would rather be wrong and not stand on a pile of bodies and be right.
Right. And the conundrum, the political conundrum of that is if we kill this thing, it's going to be far less damaging to all the assholes that voted yes for it. It'll be somewhat damaging. We'll try to remind them the best we can. But overall, like, well, Obamacare didn't get repealed, whatever. I don't care.
I don't know, but I
like my rep. He's got an R next to his name. I'm going to vote for him again.
Yeah.
Right. Whereas if they actually go through and take away their health care, then all bets are off.
Yeah. But if we do that, we are literally standing on a pile of dead bodies.
No. We're not going to stand back and let the GOP implode for the sake of killing a bunch of people.
Being right.
And then taking political advantage, hopefully, in 2018.
I don't know. You know what? In my most cynical moments, I'm like, fuck all of you. Let them govern.
Yeah,
like, let them govern and let them burn the goddamn building down.
Drink your Kool-Aid and destroy your party.
And just, I'll just sit here and I'll go, when's the next time you want to vote Republican? You just gave them a chance to govern. They have every branch. Here's what happened.
Yeah, plus if they wind up being jam this through, then what is next?
Yeah.
The fucking Handmaidens Act?
Exactly. I can't actually let the world burn down. I'm not capable of it, and so I will resist, and I will fight, and I will do everything that I can to make them not do that. And you know, heckless and all the things, but there is a part of me that's like, fuck you. You voted this in. Watch what happens. Because it is so frustrating that that even people that voted for these people are like, oh God, I hope they don't get to actually govern.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, our Jill Stein voting friends, one of them works for the EPA. Six more people that he works with got laid off today. And he's probably next in the next year. And
he literally voted himself out of a job.
Yeah.
Because something.
But her
Wall
emails,
Street,
though.
Emails,
but her emails,
Hillary,
though. Her emails.
Something.
But her emails, though. And, you know, I'm not going to be shitty to him. I've known that guy most of my life, and I feel really shit for him and his friends and his coworkers, and I wish he would have a job, but I also wanted to just scream into my phone, like, how'd your fucking protest vote go? How the fuck did that go for you? Seriously.
Well, there's so many of those people that we know, and they don't talk to us for the most part. Not about politics, certainly. But all this is coming to fruition now, and you really have to wonder if this is what they had in mind. I don't know. In any event, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about what you can do right now to try to fight and back and affect this. I'm less keen right now on the protests and marches. I think there's more pragmatic stuff we can be doing.
Yes.
I mean, if there is a protest and march and you can get to it,
go.
Great.
Fucking go.
But don't do that and say, okay, I've done my part, because there's much more useful things that can happen.
Yes.
That you can be doing.
I agree.
Okay, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with that.
Okay.
Na, 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 na.
Hello and welcome back to Irreverent Testimony. So, the House passed the bill. Now what can you do?
Yes.
Do you want to start?
So, it's the same thing you can always do, which is call your senators. There's only two. Now it's out of the House. So, there's only two this time. And you can call them, and you should call them every single day. And if you get Jeff Chad, Cory Gardner recently turned his fax machine off, which is an interesting development. He really doesn't want to hear from his constituents. If there's a town hall, go to it. If there isn't, call for one. But I need you to be in their faces.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to tell them, hey, I live here and this affects me.
Yeah.
And you know what? Even if it doesn't affect you, I need you to tell them, hey, I live here and I care about this.
Well, I think it would behoove you to call your House member too, because remember, this thing's going to go back to the House.
It is.
In one form or another.
Yes.
And they're going to have to
vote.
Vote.
Right.
Basically.
Yes.
And they have time to correct their mistakes.
They do. And House members are particularly delicate to constituent phone calls because they are elected every 2 years.
Yep.
And so they are really respond to that stuff. And I know there are like these like Facebook bots now that will fax your congressperson or send them an email on your behalf and stuff. Just trust me, that's not effective.
Make it personal.
I need you to call them. I need you to tell Jeff Chad, hey, I need Cory Gardner to call me back.
Yeah.
Here's where I live. If you could visit my house, that'd be great. I'd love to talk to him about how this affects me. Because it does directly affect me. Or, you know, my hairdresser down the street is really struggling with this because her husband has cancer and she doesn't know what she's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know what? I don't have a personal story, but this is really upsetting to me, and I'm one of your voters. And I am not going to vote for you again, and I'm going to actively campaign and support the person running against you if you vote on this, because this is immoral.
Yeah,
if you don't have a personal story, you don't have to.
Right.
All you have to say is, I feel like you are voting the wrong way, and I am the person that you're representing, and I'm telling you that you're not representing me.
Rachel made a really good point. Like, not only say, like, I'm not going to vote for you, I'm going to actively donate and campaign against you.
Yes.
They get one or two of those calls, whatever. They get 10 or 20. Okay, that's interesting. They get 100.
Yeah.
They're going to pay attention.
Yes. They do. And especially phone calls. And I know phone calls are hard because we're millennials and we don't like to talk on the phone. But I
don't know how to dial phone numbers.
I swear to God. I know it seems hard. What I'm going to tell you is this. You're not going to talk to your senator or your representative. They don't answer their own phones. Okay?
No.
You're going to talk to Jeff Chad. And he's going to talk to, hopefully, 100 of you in a day. And every time he does that, he has to make a note.
Mm-hmm.
And every time that happens, he has to go tell Cory Gardner or whoever it is, today, we got 132 of those calls. Today, we got 7,000 of those.
They're everyone's all foaming really at the mouth mad about the bill.
Everyone's really
and that happens day after
really
day
mad
after
and that's
day
why,
after day.
Yeah, and if we do that, it makes a fucking difference. People are like, when has that ever made a difference? And I have said to them, like, there are like three or four things Trump wanted to do that we have gotten not done. Now, I understand inaction feels like nothing, but when we're dealing with an administration who wants to do terrible things, inaction is the best course of action. So the more inaction that we can create and cause is political activism.
Oh, yes.
We are not in a situation at this point where we can cause good things to happen. That's over. The election's done. The Republicans won.
Well, we actually got some good things in the budget.
Okay. Sure. But we're not gonna get any big wins here. Oh my, sorry. We have a dog with a cone on its head, and it's creating a little chaos. We're not going to get any big wins here legislatively. The big wins are going to be losses, right? The big wins are that didn't happen. And that matters, too. Resisting and opposing and making things that are awful not happen in this state of affairs is a win. So we have no chance of passing progressive legislation or anything of the sort. But we do have the chance of stopping things that are awful from happening. And that's all we can do at this point. And that's our win now.
Yeah.
Our win now is that awful thing didn't happen. That awful person didn't get appointed. That awful thing didn't happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all we can do. It's not what we wanted. It's not what we could have done. But the election's over and we are where we are. And so if you don't want to live in a Handmaid's Tale, I would highly suggest calling your congressperson and senator and saying, please don't vote for this. And not just please don't, but here's how it affects my life and I'm one of your constituents and here's the zip code I live in. And I always say, if Senator Gardner could call me back, I would love to have him over for dinner so that I can explain to him why I'm so upset.
Yeah.
And they always go, yes, I'll make that note. And of course, I'm sure he'd love that, but no. But like, make it personal.
Yeah.
Make it, come, I will make you dinner at my house and I will explain to you what it is that I'm so upset about because I live in your, inviting them over for dinner is sort of saying like, I am one of your constituents. I will prove it to you by bringing you to my home where I will make you dinner and explain to you why I'm mad at you. They're never going to do it, but it proves that you live there and it makes an impression, I think, on the staffers who work there.
Yeah, and like I was saying before, if you're retweeting things and sharing stuff on Facebook and going to marches and signing moveon.org, that's all.
Change.org petitions.
Change.org petitions, that's fine. But if you really want to actually make a substantive difference that we can guarantee you is going to have an effect,
yes.
This is how to do it.
Yes.
Call your representative. Call your senator.
Yes. Yes. That is at the state level, and that is also at the federal level.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not scary.
It's really not that scary.
It's like calling Amazon. You're their client. You're their customer. So yeah. They have to be nice to you. Don't be a dick, because then you're going to be written off as a crazy person. You'll just be like in the wackadoo.
If you're just hostile.
You'll just be put in what we call the wackadoo file. Mm-hmm. The wackadoo file just is like the people who call and are just like, you know, crazy talking about the Illuminati and shit. Like,
chemtrails.
Don't be put in the wackadoo file. Just
Unless you're calling Rand Paul, because then that's
maybe that puts you in his like constituents. Yeah, they'll give me money. but just say like, here's where I live, and here's how I feel, and I'd love to, you know, make the senator and a representative dinner and explain to him with a couple of my close friends how I feel. And that says to the person on the other end of the line who has to classify you as either a voter or a non-voter that you're definitely fucking a voter. They're never going to come to your house for dinner, so don't worry about it. But that tells them that, like, oh, no, this is a person who definitely lives in our district. And the one thing that politicians care the most about is getting reelected, unfortunately.
And they're home now for the next, what, week, 2 weeks?
I think not yet, but soon. I don't think the session has ended yet, right? Well, in Colorado, it doesn't end for 7 more days, but...
Well, in D.C.
In D.C. when
they're heading home, this week.
Yeah. Next week, they're headed home. Let's hold them accountable.
And there are going to be a couple town halls. Most of those Republican congressmen are not daring to show their face.
And the ones that are, I have to give mad props to.
Well...
They're taking the shit. They're taking...
Or they're either very naive.
Like, I look at, like, Mike Kaufman. Like, Mike Kaufman is a little scared. He's getting... somebody's running against him, this guy named Jason Crow, who is a veteran served a couple tours, and Mike Kaufman is also a veteran, mm-hmm. and his campaign's a little scared.
They're a little worried?
Yeah, they're a little worried. And good. If that's what made him vote no, great. If coming home to face town halls, which he did the first one he did, he like escaped out a back door and like left.
Yeah.
And it got really bad press, so he's just sort of like, you know, over it up and been like, all right, just yell at me. It's
well,
fine.
I think what happened
from then on with
Kaufman is exactly what we said, because he was on the fence, mm-hmm. and I think he got a ton of calls.
Yeah.
And it just... Hey, my constituents don't want this. I can't.
I live in Colorado. I cannot be like, I'm taking 300,000 people.
And Kaufman isn't one of these new junior congressmen. He's an old, wily vet. He knows what's up.
Yeah.
I think maybe some of these.
He knows he lives in a blue state, and he knows that independents don't like Trump, and that our state is very odd. And he's like, yeah, taking away everyone's health care probably isn't a great idea.
But a bunch of blue state Republicans did. They flipped, and that's how they got this thing through, especially in New York and California.
Zero Democrats voted for this.
No, I'm not talking about Democrats. I'm talking about blue state Republicans.
Yes.
And they are going to... They're in a world of shit.
Hey, nah, goodbye.
Well, I don't know what they were thinking. I really don't.
Some of them. No, I don't either.
But we have to make them pay.
But it is a really good point that, like, you know, living in a state where if the three people that live in, that represent us had voted differently, this bill would not have passed.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
Like, look at that.
Yeah, and you could say that for a bunch of different states. So just
and fundraise off
just,
of that.
Just use it as sort of a micro kind of
And help target. Your candidates fundraise off of that shit. Like, that is a thing you say at the door. That's the thing that they fundraise off of. That's the thing that you say to your parents. That's the thing that, like, anyone who's against this garbage bill that will kill people, you say, for whatever your state is, hey, even if it's one senator or one representative, like, you know, that guy hadn't voted that way, and two other people, that's all we needed. That guy and two other people, or those three, or three of those four, or whatever it is, right?
Right.
It's an incredibly powerful tool. Anyway. All right, let's move on to something else.
Okay, so do we want to... Have we said all there is to say about AHCA? There's a bunch more. I mean, we haven't sort of gotten into certain things we know that are in there that people don't know, but we could save that for another time or kind of move on.
What we do can think? Do either one. I feel like we sort of talked about the MacArthur Amendment, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot in there.
There was something that you and Dana were talking about on Twitter. I don't know if you were being facetious or not.
Were.
But it sounded totally plausible.
Okay, exactly. So Dana was really funny, and he was like, so the high risk pool that we were talking about earlier.
Like if you have a gun in your house, you're
if
in the
you
high
have
risk
a gun
pool.
On a toddler, you're in the high risk pool category.
You know what? If I'm an insurance exec,
yes,
and I see that, I'm like, actually.
Actually, that's a really good idea.
Yeah.
If you have a gun on a toddler, you should be in the high risk pool market. Period.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Because...
I mean, I would assume the Republicans would stand up to him on that, but...
Obviously.
If you were an exec...
If you were a reasonable human being and you wanted to make a high-risk pool market, I'd put people that have guns and toddlers in the same room in that category. Frankly, people who have guns in general, but, like, we were sort of making a facetious argument about high-risk pools and being like, if you want to look at public health policy and public health numbers... Those people should be in the high-risk pool market.
Yeah. No, I thought that might have actually been a thing that was overlooked. It's, I mean, with all the other crazy shit that's in there,
it's not hard to believe. It's not unreasonable.
Well, we can pivot and talk about some other stuff right now.
We did talk about sexual assault survivors.
Yeah.
All that being in a high-risk pool. People that have C-sections.
Are like, considered
pre-existing conditions.
Pre-existing conditions.
Yes. Yeah. Rape, C-sections. Basically, if Being you're a woman, you get put in the high-risk pool.
If you've had a kid.
If you've ever been a woman in your life or identify one as one now, you get put in that category.
Yeah,
so,
makes sense.
Fuck you.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway. Oh, Mike Huckabee made a horribly racist tweet.
I don't know anything about this. What happened?
That was supposed to be funny, I guess.
Oh, God. Tell me all the things.
He said, I'm going to drink a gallon of hot salsa and watch Speedy Gonzalez cartoons in honor of Cinco de Mayo. And I'm just like, what in the fuck? Oh,
my God.
What are you... Why? What?
Why do you exist?
What?
Why do you exist? Wow.
And I responded to him that, yeah, and I hope you drink some untreated tap water in Tijuana.
I hope so, too.
What is this man's deal? Like, that was supposed to be racist and funny, I guess?
No,
and it succeeded in being racist?
He had no idea that was racist. He had no idea.
No, I
no
mean,
clue.
No, I think...
No clue.
No, I think he was trying to be racist with that.
No. He was trying to be fun. He's your fun uncle. He's your fun uncle. Why do you have to be so politically correct, Travis? I'm your fun uncle who was just trying to drink margaritas and have a good time on Cinco de Mayo and talk about Speedy Gonzalez. Why is that racist? He has no idea.
No, he wasn't talking about drinking.
No fucking clue.
He didn't say drink margaritas. He said drink salsa.
Okay, all right. First of all, this man, it would be way funnier if he said drink margaritas. Nobody drinks salsa, you piece of shit.
That's why I think he was trying to be racist.
No, no. He's literally the uncle who, like, says something casually racist, and you're like, whoa. And then he's like, don't be so politically correct, Rach. He's that guy.
Right, and then you throw a drink in his face, and then another Thanksgiving is ruined.
And then I ruin everything, so it's fine. Yeah. but, no, he had no idea that was racist. It's like the guy on Fox News who was talking about Ivanka Trump sucking a dick and just was like, that's hot. And yeah. You're like, that's super sexist. And he was like, what is? I was giving her a compliment. Like, it's
well, he's
the
still
same.
On vacation. We didn't follow up on well, I don't
is
know.
He?
I don't know what happened.
I don't either. Oh, shit. We should have found out.
Yeah.
Sorry. We didn't find out.
There's so much happening. I've taken my
Fox
eye the last
News.
Few days off to the
Yeah,
Fox
the Fox
saga.
News debacle is like, fuck them. I hope it burns to the ground.
I guess Hannity's still there. I guess
yeah.
Jesse Waters is still on vacation. O'Reilly's gone.
I don't.
Whatever.
You guys can send us updates if you want. I'm sure I'll look it up at some point.
Yeah,
like,
we'll
I don't care.
We'll figure it out.
Who cares?
Yeah.
I mean, I know we spent a lot of time on it last week, but like, you know.
Well, by the way, happy Cinco de Mayo. I don't know if we
thank you.
That.
Thank
you. You had some tequila, right?
I had one margarita, and then I switched because I don't do well with tequila. Yeah. And, yes, I went out with a work friend and yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have not had any tequila today.
No.
But I did have fajitas for lunch.
Well, so you're like, what, an honorary Mexican?
Yeah. I'm going to tweet Mike Huckabee about it.
I just would like to, like, I did not get white girl wasted on margaritas
Your
or
friend
the sombrero
did.
On. Yes.
Your friend did. She was out by 7. There's no names.
Anyway, so.
So we did not go out and party, is what we're trying to say.
No, we're doing this for you.
Yeah.
Because we love you.
Yeah, we could be out partying with a bunch of really, really drunk
white girls.
White people in Denver tonight.
We are not doing that.
No. Could walk down the street afterwards.
I mean, literally, I went out to smoke and there's just people yelling in the streets. Just,
really?
Yeah, oh yeah. Just yelling in the streets, like, here and there, and I'm like, oh God, tequila
yeah,
is
Saint,
awful.
Yeah, St. Patrick's was like that too.
Yeah, it's
But
awful.
St. Patrick's was like on a Monday or Tuesday, right? Because like,
yeah.
This is a Friday, so.
It's a Friday night,
yeah.
Yeah,
it's dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder what the actual Latinx population is doing in our fair city today. Because I live in Lakewood, and Lakewood is pretty Latinx heavy in
yeah.
terms of, like,
yeah.
the population.
Some of the better Mexican restaurants
oh
are
my,
out there.
All the very, very, very best. And yeah. our population, just, like, we are centralized between Lakewood and Aurora. I think we're the most diverse two communities in Denver and parts of North Denver. But Lakewood is sort of known for that, and we have the very best food on earth. But I'm not there tonight, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But I bet it's great.
Well, we can talk about this, right? The Russians got in on the last minute of the French election, and WikiLeaks, via Russia, obviously, released a big hack of Macron's emails and crap. Interesting timing, because the French have this tradition where in the 24 to 48 hours before the election, it's like a media blackout, and you don't talk about the election. You don't report any last-minute news.
Interesting. Okay.
So, and so WikiLeaks, it's like as soon as that went into effect, they released this massive dump of God knows what. Probably a bunch of very pedestrian boring stuff that people are going to take the wrong way. Yeah. Like Podesta's emails, like doing normal political stuff is somehow a scandal.
Yep.
Because it comes in the form of a hacked email.
P.S. Don't email anyone anything.
Don't email anybody anything ever.
I just make a phone call or go to the office and say a word out loud. Just don't email anyone anything. Also, there was a huge Google hack this week, by the way. If anyone didn't know about this, do not open any Google Doc that's been shared you by someone.
Yeah, I think everybody knows about
that.
I got
three of those.
Did you really? I didn't get any.
From like old brides when I used to open or have my business.
Oh, they all got hacked, huh?
Yeah, and I was like, okay, I'm definitely not opening any of that.
I haven't gotten any.
I got three.
I feel left out.
But don't open anything from Google Docs unless you're, even if you're 100% sure. I double check. But, yes, so the French election is super interesting. I read some poll numbers this morning that said that Macron is going to win by...
handily.
62-38. Again, that's huge, like, huge numbers.
Yeah, it's not 3 to 5 points.
Right. It's pretty decisive. Right. It's not like Hillary, Trump. We're not talking 3 to 5 points.
I don't know much about French politics, but my gut says the French are not going to go for this.
I agree.
That they're not going to...
Yeah, and you know, the Brexit poll numbers were much closer than that. Like, I think we're going to be okay. I'm also not telling you anything anymore because obviously I don't fucking know shit about how people are going to vote.
Mm-hmm.
But from everything that I can understand in the world, this literal Nazi should probably not win.
I think, my point is, I think the French are going to see this for what it is. Like, what the worst thing about the Podesta hack was that so many of the disgruntled Bernie people used that as ammunition to sit out or vote for Stein or just create a huge stink and get the reporters all over it and create all this controversy in the days, you know, very close to the election.
Yeah.
In France, I think we know what you're trying to do here. We know Putin's hand is up Julian Assange's ass and that they're trying to steer this for the sake of Russia. Like, I think they're a little more savvy to that. I really do.
I hope so. I hope so. I do. I really do. But again, you know,
who knows? You never know how people are going to react, right?
Even my boss was like, no, I never internalized Hillary losing as a possibility ever.
Like, sure, none of us did. We could not.
No, but like, that's not just me. He didn't either, which is
crazy. But we didn't see polls a couple days before saying 62-38.
Exactly.
So we would have felt just fine if
Marine
that was the
Le Pen
case.
Wins, I will hang up my hat and just be like, look, I'm going to go move to a cave.
What I would love to see is that if this goes
and
the
men
other...
will take care of
you. Men will take care of you because we'll bring you fish. But... look, no, I would love to see is for this to go the other way.
Yeah,
And for Putin to get, like, a strong signal, like, you can influence stupid Americans once.
Yeah.
The rest of the world, we're not buying it.
Yeah.
But it probably won't. It'll probably make it a little closer. Yep. And he'll think, okay, well, this is still a viable...
It's still working.
Still working.
Yeah, so we'll keep doing it. And how many other elections can we affect? Yeah. Right. I think the French people are much more...
savvy.
Savvy and liberal and, like, just...
It's not even a case of being liberal. I think it's a case of, like, them understanding when a foreign dictator is trying to manipulate them to their ends.
Yeah. That's bad.
Yeah. That's not what they want.
Is that bad?
That's not what you should want.
Is it what you want?
Even if it's benefiting your side.
Even if it was, is that what you want? It's not what I want. If it had come out that Hillary won because Vladimir Putin wanted her to win because she had Russian ties, and just think about that for a moment. Just internalize that for a
minute. I'm trying to, but then I'm trying to draw parallels, and it's like, emails would come out that said, what, Trump grabbed pussies and worked with mafia? Like, all the shit we already know.
But, so, I mean,
And that he was horribly corrupt and in bed with Russian mobsters. And he screwed over contractors. And he possibly raped a 13-year-old girl. It's like, what could they have hacked that we don't already know? That's disqualifying. So you can't even draw that parallel.
But her emails, though.
But her emails. But John Podesta said
that something was a jerk.
And Debbie Wasserman Schultz's aide said, I'm getting sick of this Bernie stuff.
Me too! Me too! We should have lunch!
But this was before the... This was during the primary. That's the problem.
But whoever the fuck that was right. That guy could go away.
You mean the guy that wasn't a Democrat running as a Democrat?
Oh, my God. The Democratic Party? Okay.
And the DNC said, we prefer the actual Democrat? How dare they?
How dare they? Okay, I have to tell you this fucking story. This is going to be my little goodnight story to you. It's talking to my Republican friends. So I work for a lawyer's office, and all the lawyers were on a retreat today. And so there's just a bunch of secretaries and assistants hanging out, and it's super boring. Like, there's nothing to do. So we're all like hanging on each other's desks and talking and like wandering around just trying to figure out something to do. So I'm talking to my friend, the Republican, and we get into this very long conversation about Bernie. And she's like, look, if Bernie had won, and I'm like, oh my God, if you say that sentence, you're already a Republican. If you become a Bernie bro on top of that, like, I might straight lose my fucking mind. At least she didn't
say why Bernie would have won.
She's like, I'm just telling. No, that's exactly what her point was. I would have voted Democrat. And I'm like, all right, sit down. Like, no. So we have this very long conversation about, like, yes, Bernie Sanders, I understand, and all the things, and yes. And she made some very interesting points about how she sees the Democratic Party and how she thinks people like her see it, which I took note of. She said, she's a white lady from the South, and she's in her 40s, 50s. And she said, you know, if the Democratic Party, because I was talking to her about how frustrated I was with our party and why we message badly, sort of echoing the stuff we talked about last week. And she said, you know, if you guys talked more about that and told me what you did for me or people that I care about, I would probably vote Democrat. But all I hear you doing all day long is talking about the other people, which is
what exactly
problematic
does that
language. For sure.
Okay, because we talked too much about gay people and brown people and immigrants. Correct. And she feels left out because she's
So she is identifying with the message that Bernie Sanders has been creating, that the Democratic Party only does identity politics and doesn't talk about the regular Joe. So she's...
A.K.A. white people.
She's basically a Bernie bro. Yes, A.K.A. white people. So I let her talk for a while because I was like, I just want to hear, like, what has been filtering in. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Just, like, what it is that has exactly been filtering in and how I can combat it. So she's like, instead of talking about the special interest groups and the few people, why don't you talk about all the people?
So,
and I was like, okay.
In her mind, is it just talking about it all that matters?
So I explained to her a bunch of stuff that we have done, especially back in 08 when we had all the power as compared to now. And then even when we didn't have all the power, the stuff that we want to do and the stuff that we are pushing to do. And she's like, if I knew that, I'd probably vote Democrat. But I didn't know any of that, and I don't know if any of that's true. And I'm like, okay. Do you understand why I'm upset?
Yeah.
Like, with my own party. I'm like, I'm just going to go kick everyone out and run it and tell them the fuck to say. And she was like, you go, girl. When are you going to start? And I was like, lol. But seriously, like, if I'm talking to you and I'm telling you these things... And she was, like, super against Obamacare. She was like, that has to go away. You're punishing people who can't pay for it, blah, 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 right? Explained to her, like, seven different things that it does. And she's like, well, that all sounds pretty great. Wish I had known that. And I'm like, I fucking wish you had known that too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Would have been amazing if we had explained to you, the average voter who is definitely an independent, voted for Barack Obama twice and then voted for Donald Trump. If you had maybe known what we did instead of what we just do it and then move on, that would have been great. Had you known.
Yeah.
We talked about like 7 things today that she was like, I didn't know the Democratic Party was for the working people. You guys are pro-union? And I'm like, oh my God.
Well, what, how did you not know the Republicans were anti-union, though?
Because they message so beautifully. They just don't talk about unions.
Yeah, they
and
do.
We don't either.
The Republicans talk about how terrible they are all the time.
No, they don't. Not anymore. Because we stopped talking about unions because it was divisive. So they stopped talking about unions. And no one...
And now people have forgotten?
Yes. Correct.
Okay. I mean, AFL-CIO...
We have... not told them.
Okay.
We have not told anyone that we are pro-union as a party. That's not a thing we told anyone. Hey, guys. Oh, you're a teacher? You're a steel worker? Cool. The Democratic Party's super pro-union, so you should vote for us. We just don't tell anyone anything.
I saw Hillary posing with the union this and union that constantly.
Did anyone say out loud we are pro-union?
I
no,
hope
because
so.
Unions are controversial. So we don't want to be No. Unions are controversial. Just like abortion.
They really shouldn't be.
Unions and abortion are controversial. So while we support them as the party, we don't talk about them publicly because we don't want to alienate the people who aren't going to fucking vote for us anyway.
Right. Okay.
It's working great, right? Look at where we are. We're so successful as a party, aren't we?
Brilliant.
We have so many nothings.
Well, we got a couple minutes left. What do we have in store this week? I think all the Republican House members who voted for this bill are going to get a huge earful this weekend, and I think they're going to be taken aback and surprised for some reason.
I hope so. I don't know. I hope so.
And then I'm not sure what the Senate does. I think they're going to craft a slightly less odious bill. One they think...
Really?
Yeah, one that they think the House Freedom Caucus will pass. And I
think they just go, this didn't... Like, I've already heard echoings of, like, this didn't even get, like, congressional... Like, CBO'd.
That's coming next week.
This didn't... This bill lasted for 4 hours. It didn't even get debated. Like, fuck this bill. There's lots of rumblings of that among Republicans in the Senate because they don't want to vote for it because it's has like, I think, 17% approval rating.
Yeah.
Among voters. So
I haven't seen one this latest iteration.
No, there isn't one because there isn't time because they just went, fuck it here.
Yeah. 2 days. Basically.
Yeah. And
they
threw
together this
there's
bill.
No time. So no one has any information about it, which is also why they're not going to vote for it because again, there's less Senate seats than House seats. But no, I don't see it passing the Senate.
Yeah, well, you've had a lot of them. See, I worry about this, though. They've come out today and they've said, well, we have reservations. That doesn't mean they're not going to vote for it. Can't you totally picture John McCain saying, well, I really didn't like this bill, but, you know, in the end, I had to vote for it.
No, not John McCain.
I don't know.
No.
I
no.
think so.
No.
I could see them all caving.
No, because they're the, like, I feel like everyone understands that they can't vote for it. Like, House members can because there's so many of them and it doesn't matter. But Senate is sort of like the place where serious
the
law happens.
Live.
The adults live. And, like, you can't just take my health care away. Like, you can't just do that.
It's Mitch McConnell.
Yes.
So he's not big on rules and norms and non-hypocrisy and sense, common sense.
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe they'll pass it. And like I said before, part of me is like, please do not kill everyone. And then part of me is like, you know what? Fucking govern.
If you really want to step on this grenade.
Govern. Do what you said you were going to do and see how it works. I'm done. I did what I needed to do. I did everything in my fucking physical... emotional capital that I had during this election.
Yeah.
I won the seat that I won. Everything else went to shit
And I'm like, look, if you don't like it, vote different next time.
Well, that's,
I have nothing left. Right, I'm like, fuck it.
But at the end of the day, we're not wired like that. I mean, like, our most base instincts are to say to Aunt Sue in West Virginia, whose husband needs the
I don't want Ken cancer. To die. I don't want Ken in West Virginia to die.
I know, but like the evil part of us says, okay, Sue, now you get what you voted for.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy. Bye. Good luck.
Yeah.
But that's at the evil end of the part day, of me.
But then
no,
I can't.
We will take to the streets and make the calls and donate
the money.
And I
will call them and I will and make knock the doors all the
for Sue.
For goddamn Ken. Because I don't actually want Ken to die.
No.
I really
even
don't.
Even though him and his whole family will vote again for somebody who wants to take away their cancer drugs and let them die.
Yeah.
We will try to keep them alive.
I don't know why, other than
it's what we do.
It's exhausting.
It really is. Like, it's hard enough, like, to do it for us and the people we know and
love.
Care about.
Yeah.
And love. But we were doing it for people who are going to continue to vote against their own self-interests and our self-interests and everybody's self-interests.
You know what, though,
and then the worst part is we do that, we save their ass, and then they don't even know what they could have lost.
Yep. And then we don't win anyway because we don't know how to tell them we did it. So it's pretty fucking thankless. This is why I'm not a parent, by the way. This exact conversation is why I do not have children.
Well, we kind of are, right? We're the
parents of the nation.
Parents of the country. And we have a bunch of helpless children running around electing Trumps as president and Republican Congresses.
True.
And we have to save them
well,
from themselves.
Well, how could I possibly raise a child?
No, Sue in West Virginia. Don't stick the fork in the... Oh, you
Sue,
did? Okay.
Stop. Ken. Oh, my God. Okay. Hold on.
Don't
hold
on. Don't
put
your hand in the blender.
Everyone stop. I will fix it. And then they'll go, what? Nothing happened. When I stuck the fork in the blender, you're like, well, no, actually.
Because I unplugged it.
Everything happened that didn't happen. But no, yeah, please fucking put the fork in the fucking. Oh, God. That's why I don't have kids.
Well, you kind of do.
I kind of do, I guess.
Look at the electoral map, all those big red blotches.
Those are my children that I'm just trying to take forks out of fucking outlets and just stop it. No, do not. No, don't jump in that. Don't do that. Just hold on.
Oh,
I got
you
this.
You drank bleach?
I got
okay,
this.
I'll call poison
Fuck.
Control.
And we have one of those because I exist. We have poison control. But it's fine. No, yeah, you're right. Yeah, I'm everyone's mom, which is true anyway, but... Fucking hate it. All right.
Okay.
That's
going to do it for us.
Please don't stick forks in outlets.
Try not to.
Toasters or anything else.
We know all our parents did because something. Anyway, I was going off on kind of the generational war thing again on Twitter for a while after this passed, but I got over it. Okay, we'll talk to you next week. Stay active, stay tuned, stay involved. Give your congressman and senator hell on the phone this week.
Call them. Do it. It's just going to be Jeff Chad, but it makes a difference.
Reverend Duo on Twitter, reverendtestimony@gmail.com. See you next week. Bye.
Oh, do I feel like the mother of the world? Oh, do I feel like the mother of the world, with two children. Oh, do I feel like the mother of the world, with two children fighting. When I was a boy, I used to get into it bad with my sister. And when the time came to face the truth, it'd be only tears and sighs, tears and sighs. And my mother, my poor mother, would say it does not matter, does not matter, to stop fighting. Feel like the
mother of the world.